Amen. Do you love the Lord today? Can we offer him one more great ovation of praise in this house? Amen. 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 Wow. Wow. What a great day. What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord together, worshiping him together. What a beautiful congregation you are today. I look across this room and I'm just so very thankful and blessed that I get to worship among some of the greatest people on the planet. Don't tell anybody else outside this room I said that, okay? But I believe it and I mean it. You're the greatest people in the world. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed each one of us with each other. No man is an island to himself. We were made for community. We need each other. God made us that way. It seems like we have kind of an independent sort of mindset these days. I can do it. I can do it on my own. I'm a man. But that's not how God made us. We weren't made to be that way. We need each other. That's why we need moments like today. We need moments like we've experienced in this service today, where together we carry one another's burdens. Together we uplift one another. Together we call on the name of Jesus together. Amen. Amen. Do you have time for a little bit of word this morning? Are you okay? Are we okay? I know we've had a lengthier beginning of our service today. I'll try to talk real fast, but I believe the Lord has a word for us today. How many of you in the room today are planners? You like to plan things out. You like to map it out just right. You're a planner. You're a planner. I'm a bit of a planner. In fact, if you go on vacation with me, you're either going to love me or hate me, one or the other. You're going to be on one end of the spectrum with me because I like to plan it all out. I want every detail. A couple months ago, we took a little 3-day excursion, vacation, if you will, and it was 11 of us all together, 3 from my family and let me do my math, 8 others that were with us. And so they kind of left it up to me to sort of plan the vacation. And I did just that. I mean, every minute, there was going to be none of this. Well, where do y'all want to go eat? That wasn't going to happen. That whole, you know what I'm talking about. Well, it doesn't matter to me until you say where we're going. Then all of a sudden, it matters. You know what I'm talking about? But if you leave it up to a planner, I mean, I had an itinerary right down to the minute. I texted to everybody when somebody said, well, what are we, don't ask me. You go look at your itinerary. I got it. It's all in the plan. I'm a planner. I'm a planner. But a lot of people, if you just like to go with the flow and you just want to be with everybody, you love people like me because, you know what, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to plan nothing. I'm not a planner. I just like to go and have a good time, and I'm just happy to be there. Come what may, life is good and whatever, you know. If you're that kind of person, you'll love going somewhere with me because I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you when we're going to do it, how much we're going to do of it when we get there. I'm going to do all that. I'll tell you, I'll order for you at the restaurant if you want me to because I know what's best on the menu. I mean, I can do that for you, and I have some issues there. I get that. I'm going to a therapist about it. I'm dealing with it. I know, but many of you in this room, you're like me. You're a planner. You like things. You're not a good go with the flow kind of person. If anything deviates off the plan at all, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're going into high anxiety, and it's just, what are we going to do now? This was not part of the plan. If you've already got all of your Christmas shopping done and you had it done by the end of July, guess what? You're a planner. You're a planner. Now, that's the one area I don't plan well on. I'm usually buying a Christmas gift on Christmas Eve somewhere before the mall closes, and I'm the one beating feet to get there. The truth is, whether you're a planner or not, when life goes in a different direction than the way we had planned it, it can many times rattle us. It will rattle us. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as I'm looking at a room with a crowd of people this size, there is no doubt that there are those right now who are facing something that you didn't plan. I didn't plan on this. This was not supposed to happen. This was not part of the plan. I know many people right now who are job hunting, and they never believed that at this stage and place in their life and career they would be looking for a job. There's others who would say, I didn't plan on having this medical battle at this point in my life. There are some, unfortunately, as we go into this Christmas season, it's supposed to be the happiest and the most blissful time of the year, and they're saying things like this: I didn't plan on being separated from my family at this time. I didn't plan on going through a divorce at this time in my life. This isn't what was part of the plan. There are those right now during this holiday season who will be dealing with the empty chair, whether it's a whether it's an actual empty chair or not at the table, there are many who there's somebody who was supposed to be here at Christmas time and they're not going to be here. So there's that symbolic empty chair, and they're thinking, this isn't part of the plan. This was not what I planned. And again, whether we face things that we didn't plan or not, it can begin to rattle our faith when these things begin to happen that we didn't plan. And many times it can leave us wondering, God, where are you? Where are you? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? Where are you and what's going on? I didn't plan this. I want us to look at a few verses this morning from Matthew chapter 1, and I want to talk about the earthly mother and father of Jesus, the natural parents, his natural parents here on earth, Joseph and Mary. And when we study the birth of Jesus, you find it in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, and we find several paragraphs describing what really took place over many, many months. But there's just a few paragraphs, and we know a little bit, and we get all of the important high points of the story, but there are many things that we don't get out of the story that we don't know about. There's a lot of things that's kind of between the lines that we don't hear about. If you and I were to summarize the last year of our lives in three paragraphs, we might hit the most important high points, but there's going to be detail after detail that we're not going to capture in that little synopsis of our life. Think about Joseph and Mary for a moment. Think about the plans that they had. Think about the plans they had for their future. I'm sure in that culture it was somewhat of an arranged union, but we can tell through Scripture that they fell madly in love with each other. They were in love with each other. They got engaged to one another. They began to make plans for their future, no doubt. No doubt he was talking about taking over the family carpentry business, and they began to dream about the future and what they were going to do and children that they were going to have. They were making plans. They were doing what all of us have done at some point or another, whether it was planning where we're going to go eat dinner or whether we were planning the rest of our lives or our retirement or whatever it may be. They were making plans. I mean, you know, life is just what happens while we're making plans. That's just what happens. But they were making all these plans, and then one day Mary got off by herself. And while she was off by herself, she has this holy encounter. An angel appears to her. And the angel tells her, you've been chosen. You're going to give birth to a son. And no doubt she begins to rationalize it all in her mind. And she was probably thinking, wait a minute, I'm not even pregnant. Joseph and I are not even married yet. And the angel says to her, you will conceive this child by the Holy Spirit. I can't even imagine what is going through the heart and the mind of this little girl. She loves her God. She's in love with Joseph, and she's planning to get married, and her God has chosen her and Joseph to be a major part of history. She goes and tells Joseph that she's pregnant. Here's the thing, we have to remember, these are real people, just like you and I, and because we don't have the play-by-play details, we don't know everything that played out, but we do know this. We know that between verses 18 and 19, things were not well in Joseph's spirit. We can see that he is extremely perplexed. Anybody would be. I'm not going to sit here and make the normal Christmas jokes today, but my goodness, if your wife comes to you and tells you, I'm pregnant, and I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, come on, we're going to be pretty perplexed at that point. That's going to be a little hard to believe. We don't have to do much reading between the lines to know that Joseph was not in a good place after getting the word from Mary that she was pregnant. So in Matthew chapter 1, 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. After Mary has this encounter with this angel of the Lord, she goes and she tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. It was the Holy Spirit. We don't know how he responds, but we know that he's very hurt and he's very upset. And we see the results of that in verse 19. It says this in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The NIV says it this way, he was going to divorce her quietly. Here's what we know, Joseph was devastated. He was crushed, he was humiliated, he's heartbroken. If we read between the lines, we know that the wedding is planned. The future is planned. He's got a future. He's got a future plan for his family and his children. And now he's got to figure out a way to tell his family and his closest friends about this major change of plans that has come. In his mind, he's going to be publicly humiliated. But worse than public humiliation is the fact that he truly loved Mary. He trusted her. He believed that God had put them together. No doubt he's half mad and yet he's half torn at the same time. He just cannot believe it. The plans are changing. If you'll notice in the text, it says he planned to divorce her quietly. That's what the NIV says. When I saw that some of the translations uses the term divorce, I learned that during this time in history and in this particular culture, if you were engaged, and the only way you could break off the engagement was to literally have an official divorce. And culturally, a divorce was much more serious than it is, it seems like it's taken today. It's frowned upon more than it is today. And Joseph's thinking, I'm trying to serve God, and now I'm going to be divorced. Think about Mary's perspective for a moment. When the angel of the Lord appeared to her, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 38, this is what Mary said to the angel. This was her response. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's what she said. If she were living today, she would have said something like this. This is how most of us will pray. I love God with all of my heart, and I will do whatever he wants me to do. How many in the room have ever prayed that prayer? God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That was her prayer. She had a yes in her spirit. I wish to God that all of us could begin to develop a yes in our spirit. God, what is it you want me? You don't even have to finish getting it out of your mouth, Lord. Yes. Whatever the question is, whatever the challenge is, yes, yes. The answer is always yes. She said yes to what God asked. Now her life is totally over. She's pregnant without a husband. She's going to be divorced. She's going to be a single mom in a culture where you can't even get any type of real job to support yourself. She's going to be a beggar on the street trying to raise a child on her own. You can only imagine the rumors. In her mind, her life was over. And if we could get all of the moment-by-moment details, I'm sure some of her private prayers sounded a little something like this. God, this is not what I planned. God, I said yes to you. I did everything that you wanted me to do. God, why are you allowing this to happen this way? This is not what I planned. And I believe that's exactly where some of us are right now. Maybe we're asking the question, God, this is not what I planned. I don't know what it may be for you. Maybe you're finally getting ahead financially and you were planning a great Christmas for the kids, but then the car broke down or some other crisis happened, and now you've spent thousands of dollars and it was not what you planned. You poured your life into your kids. Your kids were your life. Everything you did for your kids, and now they're making decisions that don't look anything like the way that you raised them and the way that you planned their life to be. You took a job and you did for your family. You knew it would be a better job, and you knew there was chance for promotion here, and you were moving up, and then the layoffs came and you were part of the casualties. This isn't what you planned. It hurts me to see so many people who thought they had lived the happily ever after with him or her, and now the happilies aren't there anymore, and neither is the ever after, and they're thinking, this isn't what I planned. God, where are you in all of this? And the list, it goes on and on. I didn't plan on having migraines. I didn't plan on battling depression. I didn't plan on fighting cancer. God, what are you doing? This isn't what I planned. There is one main thought, though, that I want to leave with us today. One main thought that I want us to get ingrained in our heart, in our spirit. It's a very simple thought, but it is a major truth for us to embrace and to live our lives by. And this is for everyone who's ever had to experience a change of plans. I feel like every one of us in this room at some point or stage in our lives, and maybe you're there right now where you're having to experience and navigate through a change of plans. I hope that we can all just plant this truth deep down in our hearts. If we've ever had a change of plans in our lives, this is the one major truth that we will always have to remember. And it's simply this: you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. I want to say it again, and I want us to feel it deep down, and I want us to believe it, and I want us to embrace it and adopt it and apply it. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. In fact, in Proverbs 19:21, the NIV says it this way: many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but even though we have so many plans, it is the Lord's purpose that really matters. It is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. We don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Mary and Joseph's plans, they were wrecked. They were shattered. Joseph even decided that he had no choice but to divorce Mary. And he's considering this. And in verse 20 of Matthew, it reads this way: but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now Joseph is starting to realize that all Mary said really was true. And in verse 21, we begin to see the purpose. We see the plans change. The plans have already changed. But now we see the purpose in verse 21. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." You can almost imagine Joseph asking the question: so you're telling me God really is in all of this? You're telling me that the last thing that I ever wanted is exactly what God wanted to happen in my life? You mean there is a purpose in the middle of my pain? There's purpose in our pain. We got to learn. Kevin Bates has got to learn to quit cursing the pain in our lives. When something bad happens, or that we label or define as bad or negative in our lives, we immediately want to curse those things. And so many times, negative things and bad things do happen in our lives, and God didn't cause it, God didn't create it, but we got to quit cursing these things in our life, because God's purpose will always be fulfilled. You can almost hear God whispering to Joseph, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are so much higher than your ways. And even though you may not feel it right now, I'm working in all things to bring about good to those who love me and are called according to my purpose." My purpose. God's purposes are so much more important than my plans. God can change my plans anytime he wants to, as long as it's going to bring about and fulfill his purpose. God will redirect our plans when he has a different purpose. We don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. As I look back on my 46, almost 47 years of my life, I see some of those key moments where the plan was this. I was moving in this direction. This is what the future looked like. It was all mapped out just this way. I mean, right down to every crossing of every T and dotting of every I. There was already a plan. And then all of a sudden, overnight, without my asking for it, without my looking for it, without me even doing anything to deserve it, everything changed. The plans changed. And now today, I can look back over so many years, and in some situations, decades, and I look back and I see that his purposes are being fulfilled. And the purposes, as we see it and know it today, would not be what they are if the plans didn't change. So I don't have to trust the plan. I just need to trust that he has a purpose. I don't have to understand the plan. I just have to know that he has a purpose. I'm so glad that every now and then God interrupts my plans to bring about his purpose. Even in those times where I may not understand it and I don't like it, I may be confused and I'm hurting in the middle of it, years later, we can always look back and we can see, we can always be able to say with assurance, I would have never chosen that. I would never choose this. I didn't want to go through that, and I would never go through it again. I would never want to go through it again, but I can see how God was using it for his purpose. We don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. This would have been true for Mary and Joseph. Think about this. Mary is pregnant with the Son of God. If I'm Joseph and I'm finally come to terms with the fact that God has a purpose in all of this, I'm thinking, well, surely now it's all going to be smooth sailing from here on out because I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I've surrendered my will to his will. Now, surely it's all going to go smooth. Now, there will probably be no pain. This is going to be a pain-free delivery. We're going to be surrounded by God's favor, and we're just going to see him pave the way for us perfectly. Just the way we want it to be, smooth sailing. But that wasn't the case. Instead, she's in labor. And where is she in labor? But she's traveling on a road, riding on the back of a donkey. They go to this town, and there's no vacancies anywhere. There's no warm, safe place for delivery. There is no hospital. There is no hotel room. There are no Airbnbs. So she gives birth in essentially a cave, surrounded by farm animals. And this is where she gives birth to the Son of God. It ain't like today, folks. I mean, my goodness, today we're scheduling our deliveries. The doctor's going to be on vacation this week, so how about the week after that? Come in on Monday, we'll have this baby by noon. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't all the me-me's and the grand-grands and the pop-pops and the pee-pees and all of them up on the fourth floor with their little gift baskets and all their little goodies waiting and anticipating. It wasn't, no. In a cave, a filthy, dirty, dark, lonely cave. But I said yes to the Lord. Surely the man of the hour with God's power, surely God's just going to pave the way perfectly. There's not going to be any deviating off of the plans anymore. She said yes. Plans changed. Fast forward 33 years. This mother who said yes, may it be done to me according to your word. God, you knew I loved you. You knew I loved you, and you knew that I would do anything that you asked me to do. And now she is standing here 33 years later. No doubt this has been a very difficult life as a mother. In fact, I don't think any mother should have to experience and go through what she went through those 33 years, but especially what she's about to face and deal with now as she watches her son. This saying yes to the Lord was not an easy journey for her. Now she's having to watch her son be stripped down, hanging on a cross, only supported by spikes in his wrist, in his feet, his back cut open and whipped again and again. His brow is crowned with thorns. His face is unrecognizable. This mother who said yes some 33 years before is now looking at this, and it's not recorded, but you know what she's thinking in this moment, what any mother would be thinking in this moment: God, this is not fair. He didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, he did everything right. We did everything that you asked us to do. We said yes. Is there any way, God, you can make this stop? No mother should ever have to experience that. What did Jesus do in that moment? They're spitting on him. They're ridiculing him. They're yelling, "Hail, hail, King of the Jews. You saved everyone else. Now save yourself." Jesus looks up to heaven and he prays. He prays this prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." Mary looks at her son who is righteous in every way, and Jesus declares with faith and with passion through the pain and through the agony, he says, "It is finished." And then he breathes his last breath and he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." The earth goes dark. Everything shakes. I just wonder if we could put ourselves in Mary's place. She was a real person just like you and me. These are real people. She was a real mother experiencing real agony. At least in her heart, no doubt, she was thinking, this isn't what I planned. There's been a change of plans. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose. You and I have plans, but God has a purpose. What's the purpose? Can I tell you what the purpose was? Can I just go ahead and right here on this first Sunday as we enter into the Christmas season, we got Thanksgiving behind us. We are officially now in the Yuletide season of the year. Can I go ahead and just let the secret out to everybody? Can I tell you what the purpose was? The purpose was us. We were the purpose. You were the purpose. And I was the purpose. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose. I hear people say all the time, and I know they mean well, and I say it, and I mean it when I say it. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is. Jesus absolutely is the reason that we do all of this that we do, even right down to all the little fun stuff. We're even going to have a Santa Claus here on one day this year, and we're going to have a sleigh and Mrs. Claus and all that. Even in the middle of all of that hoopla, at the very center of it all, the very reason that we're celebrating and doing all this fun stuff is to celebrate Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. But if we were to ask God what the reason for the season is, you know what he would say? He would say it's you. You're the reason for the season. That's what his answer would be. He would say, I'm not the reason for the season. You are. You're the reason I came. You're the reason I changed the plans. You were and are the purpose. I'm closing, but I guess I still get a little rattled every time somebody says happy holidays to me. It just bothers me. It just gets under my skin in the worst way. But you know what I want to say? Because people saying happy holidays are people that's part of the woke movement. And if you think about the woke movement in our society today, if you think about it, analyze what they're saying, analyze what their reasoning and meaning and motivation is behind everything that they say and do, and at the end of the day, I'll just tell you what it is. It's plain and simple. It's selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about my likings, and it's all about being on my side. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. So the next time someone tells you happy holidays, say, that's fine. But can I tell you, you're the reason. You're the reason for the season. Yeah, Jesus did what he did, but he did it for you. That might wake up the woke movement a little bit, because they'll like that, because it's self-serving. Okay, I can get with that. You are the reason for the season. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For God so loved us that he became one of us. When it comes to the Christmas story, man had a plan of how the Messiah would come, but God had a purpose. Man had a plan, but God had a purpose. That purpose was that he would be stripped of his righteousness in heaven and would become a person in Jesus. And he would be born of a virgin. And the reason he had to be born of a virgin was because he didn't inherit the sin nature of an earthly father, but instead the divine nature of his heavenly father. Therefore, he could be perfect in every way, never knowing sin, and dying on the cross for you and me as the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. We were the purpose. You were the purpose. Mary and Joseph had a plan, but God had a purpose, and we were that purpose. Verse 21 said, Mary will give birth to a son, and you will give his name, you will give him the name Jesus. Here's the purpose, because Jesus will save his people from their sins. A moment ago, we had this altar service. I didn't plan on doing that today, but we did. We had a time. And this is not something we do every week. here at Life Church, but I'm going to tell you something. It can happen right where you're sitting. It can happen as you get into your car today. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen whenever you want it to, or whenever you need it to. But I want to tell you something. If you will allow God to change your plans today, and we will embrace and accept the fact that He has a purpose in all that He does in our lives, and we will accept the fact that His purpose was us, and we were the reason for this season. We were the reason He did what He did, and we will surrender our lives and hearts completely and totally to Him. Maybe there's somebody in this room today who's never done that before. Maybe you're here today and it needs to happen. I want to tell you something. Let Him change your plans today. Let Him change your plans so that His purpose is fulfilled. He came to save His people from their sin. If you're one of those today who've experienced a change of plans, and maybe right now in your life things are very difficult, I'm not going to try to talk you out of your feelings today, not for one moment. Your feelings are very real. And the truth is that sometimes life just hurts. Sometimes we just don't understand. And sometimes we just ache and hurt and we want to cry out, God, what's going on here? God, where are you? I want to remind us all right now that because of the goodness of God, because of His sovereignty, because of who He is, we don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. And during this Christmas season, as we walk about, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let's please remember and let's understand that Mary and Joseph were people just like you and me. People who had a plan, but I thank God that He had a purpose, and His purpose was us. Would you stand with me today across this room? Lord, today I am so very thankful. I'm thankful today, God, for those moments in our lives when we had it all mapped out, we had it all planned out just the way it was supposed to be, according to us. And then it changed. The plans changed. And as we look in the rearview mirror today, God, we want to give you thanks. That thing that we were cursing in the moment, we now today want to thank you and give you praise and worship you, God, for the change of plans. Because, God, it was in those changing of plans that your purposes began to be fulfilled in our lives. And so we thank you for it today, God. We don't curse it anymore. We worship you and we thank you. God, for those individuals that's in this room right now, maybe who are going through that change, the plans have changed. They didn't ask for it. They weren't looking for it. They did everything they could to keep the plan from changing, but it changed nonetheless. God, today I pray first and foremost for your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, God, to begin to surround and guard every heart and mind as we go through this valley, this season of the plans being changed. And help us today, God, give us vision. Give us vision to understand and to know, God, that there is a purpose in the pain. God, that your purposes will be fulfilled, and we don't have to understand the plan to know, God, that you have an incredible and a mighty and a powerful and a perfect purpose in all that we face in our lives. God, we understand today that we are your purpose. God, today I'm thankful that we are the reason for the season. You came for us. You did it for us. So we celebrate and we honor you today, God, and we give thanks for what you have done for us. And we worship you from our hearts. If there be that one today, God, who has never surrendered their heart and life to you, they've never surrendered their plans for your purpose, my prayer today, God, is that you will open our hearts, God. I pray that life change begin to happen today in that heart and in that life today. And then when we walk out of these doors in a moment, we're not the same as we came. Not because we quoted a certain prayer, not because a preacher prayed over us, God, but because we made that decision from our hearts and we committed ourselves once and for all to your purposes and your plans for our lives. So have your way across this room. Have your way in every heart and life, in every family, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.